and Maggie. My gosh.
I don't know. On a plane? Yeah. I don't know if I ever left the plane.
What, was the plane ride eventful or uneventful?
Well, don't travel with your mother is what I'm saying.
Maggie Mayfield has been on the road.
I went to Hawaii to work, mm-hmm. which sounds counterintuitive, but I went to broadcast live with the radio station I work with, Coast 103.5.
Why did Coast 103 from Los Angeles go to Hollywood? Did you broadcast
from
there?
We went to Hawaii, island of Oahu, and we went to the Disney Aulani Resort. And we broadcast live because they wanted to bring in more traffic to the resort. So we went and broadcast live 2 days there, and it was fun. But I just stressed myself out because I was like, I deserve to be here. Like, I'm trying to prove that I work hard and I should be here. So it was stressful.
And your mom was there?
My mom was there. And I think at a certain point, parents forget how planes work. Because on the way there, it wasn't so bad. But on the way back, the plane that we were on, they had individual screens so you could plug your headphones in and you can watch whatever you wanted. And she was angry. She's like, I'm going to have to pay $8 for free TV. This is ridiculous. And then like the buttons weren't working. And she could tell she was cranky. And side note, she gave me an edible right as the plane was just starting to take off. And so she all of a sudden gets angry. And on the screen, she's like hitting the button really hard on the chair in front of her. And just and eventually the guy in the chair turned around like, what the hell are you doing, lady? And I was just like, Mom, you're embarrassing me.
Oh, she was doing the back massage.
This is not how a plane works. So,
God.
It was awkward. And then I could feel myself sleeping because I was high. And my mom couldn't fall asleep, and I could feel her just looking at me like, how dare you fall asleep while I'm awake? You should be talking to me. So it was really – and I think at one point she got up, and she was gone for a long time in the bathroom, and she finally comes back. She's like, I just threw up. And I'm so high, and instinctually all I did – I remember I had a mint in my bag, so I went in, grabbed it, and I handed it over to her, didn't say a word, and she goes – oh, thanks. And I was like, that could have gone one of two ways.
That could have gone. Thanks, Mom.
Thanks, Mom.
Oh, and then from this Coast on the road event to Hawaii, you went to a comedy festival.
I did, in Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Your very first comedy festival.
It was amazing.
What are they like? What's the deal? Like, do you check in somewhere and go to a dinner, or how is it handled? Like, what's the story? Like,
they had a hotel for us all set up. So
your own room?
No, I shared with another woman who's actually also from Los Angeles, and she was fabulous. We had such a great time getting to know each other, and mm-hmm. like, oh, this is where you hang out in LA. This is where I hang out in LA, and it's crazy that we've never.
She's a comic.
Out. Another comic. Mm-hmm.
What's her name?
Grace. I couldn't tell you her last name.
That's
we're Facebook friends.
Yeah, you're busy.
Yeah. So we went and had dinner a couple nights and got to watch each other perform. And we were the only female comics on the show in the whole festival. Out of 3 days. And so the one other girl that was supposed to be there had to drop out for an audition. So we got to pick up her shows. And I'll tell you, it was challenging doing three shows. And because I wanted to make sure that the content was different for each set, because I figured these would be repeats, mm-hmm. you know, people would be coming back. And it was challenging. We're in very progressive liberal Los Angeles, and we were in a very red state of South Dakota. And it was like, where's the common ground? What am I going to say to you that we can all laugh about?
And
we talked a lot about the internet, body issues, and just our parents and how wacky they are. So,
and they laughed hard.
They did. They did. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. So,
well, I hope more to come. I hope more to come. And what
you
a show!
Too.
What a show we're about to embark on now.
I know. Well, before we do that, what have you been doing? I've been gone.
Oh my gosh!
You're on a movie today.
Student films. I mean, when you're not a work actor in Los Angeles, there's no excuse not to get involved in something. I mean, everybody's putting on a play. There's sketch groups out the wazoo, mm-hmm. and we've got the American Film Institute. We've got UCLA Film School, USC. There's absolutely no excuse for anybody of any age, of any experience, to not get out there and start acting. And so I'm doing a film with AFI. I've been working for the last couple of weeks on it. Some really interesting young kids. I can't remember their names because I'm old. And
that's
I don't even know who the director. I mean,
I don't remember the name of the show. That's fine.
Well, yeah. and that's been just super great. I'm working out at the gym. You know, my situation when you've been away for a couple of weeks, and I kind of took advantage of just like having dinner, watching, you know, the nightly news, into College Jeopardy this week, the young kids. kids.
Yeah.
It's been I've been hanging out with the kids.
Just self-love.
Yeah,
yeah.
Last couple
Take
weeks.
Take your time and...
It's the power, youth has such a re-energizing, and,
right?
and elders have a stabilization, and I've been tuned into it. You know, I need the stabilization of my elders, and I need the energy of the youth, and mm-hmm. that's where I've been hanging out.
That's so great.
Yeah.
And our guest today, oh man, I don't even know how we got so lucky.
Oh, I know.
Mary Kennedy from Shameless?
My
what?
Sister Missy's favorite show.
Oh
my entire family's crazy about this show.
Me
so,
too.
And I've not binged yet, but I will. But Mary Kennedy.
Once you start, you won't stop.
She's new Fiona.
New Fiona.
Yes, we got somebody from the actual show. Come
on. Oh my God.
That's such an honor for us.
She's so delightful. So
yeah.
Please enjoy Mary Kennedy.
So much access to media.
I know. It's almost too much.
You know, it's almost like AI. Artificial intelligence is what
our jobs are going to be replaced by robots.
That was our fear when, what was it, Avatar came out?
When Avatar came out.
We all sat there and said, oh my gosh, I'm going to be Avatar.
But is it really, I mean, let's really for a moment be serious here. Do you honestly worry that a robotization or the sort of artificial intelligence is going to affect us? I heard a thing on the radio the other day. It's no joke.
No, I know. I'm already seeing it. So I obviously work in radio and my job has been outsourced to the computer for years.
And there is a thing, I forget who the show, but it, it was Glenn Beck. I was listening to Glenn Beck because I like to see what those folks are up to on a regular basis. And I guess the folks in Silicon Valley are afraid for their lives because they believe they're the ones that are going to actually be accosted by the blue collar workers. It's like, you're killing our jobs, man.
Wow.
You're destroying. Because it's not like they want to reduce the cost of labor. They want to reduce labor.
Well, yeah, but I also think, I mean, I think the American public, I mean, we can't even reach our Congress people right now. I think people are going to want a real person. I think personally, if I go up and I try to get on my flight and it's a computer, I think I might lose my mind.
You know, Mary, I agree. Voice of reason.
How are we going to order food?
I can't do self-checkout at CVS. I'm doomed. Oh. I can't. I scream at it. I go, stop it. I don't want a bag. I didn't take it out of the bag thing.
And then you get to the part where you're like, is it a chip reader or is it a
slidey
thing?
And then
thing?
The CVS person comes over and is so annoyed with me because there's a line of like 30 behind me because I cannot buy milk. Like they say no. Like, you can't. No. And then the thing's bleak. It's very stressful. Like I'm sweating now. I'm having a hot flash because it's really upsetting.
No, it is stressful. And grocery is putting us to work. It's not like we're going to go and get our food. It's like we punch in to work now.
And then they don't even. Have you noticed how complacent they are about bagging? Have you know if you go in the line with a
bagging?
No,
does that even exist anymore?
Yes, they go. They're very complacent. They have baggers, and they sit there like, "What, you want me to do something? Yeah, I'd like you to bag so I can put my magazine in front of me. Like, I enjoy my experience."
You think about this a lot.
I do. Well, I food shop every week because I have kids.
Where do you shop?
I don't want to say.
Why?
It's personal.
Really?
Well, CVS clearly.
No, it's when it's one.
I know, I respect
it's,
that.
It's cheaper than the one that has bad parking. Put it that way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I like Costco.
No, it's not that.
No, Trader Joe's has bad parking. So whatever's cheaper than that, I don't
it's
know.
It's cheaper, and people are rude, and what else?
But she goes there. She's a fan.
You know, I got a Food for Less down the block.
Yeah.
I got a Ralph's. I got a Trader Joe's.
Yeah.
So this is such a delight. Mary Kennedy is sitting to my left and to David's right. And it is such a pleasure to have you in the studio. And you're here because you are a big deal. I met her at a comedy show in Van Nuys a couple weeks ago. And she killed it on stage, of course.
Thank you.
But the whole time she was like, don't forget to promote my show. I'm on Shameless. It was pretty great.
What was the club in Van Nuys?
The Springbok.
The Springbok?
The Springbok. It's a little suspicious. It's next to a golf course. There's good food.
It is good food.
And it's the Van Nuys Comedy Club. Billy Batts runs it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And it's fun. You know what's great about it? This is what it is. After doing comedy for 18 years.
18 years 18 you've been years, doing stand-up.
Yeah. What's great is when you're growing on the road, like I'm going to be headlining soon, like it's a great place because you don't feel like you're in Los Angeles. You feel like there's civilians. There's real people that are there to watch you laugh. There's no like, you know, you can't get a sitcom. Like there's not an industry vibe, which I love the industry. It's not that. It's just you can do real material.
That's great.
And I think you get a really good vibe of what works and what doesn't.
Billy Batts sounds so familiar. He's like a big stand-up headliner guy.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's coming up, but he's also a DJ, and he's, you know, he really creates rooms for people to work out their stuff. And for comics, because, you know, we get sick of our own stuff. So if we can go to a place and we go, oh, yeah, that's funny.
You'll be reminded.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that worked. Yeah,
when did you move out to L.A., Mary?
16 years ago.
You've been here 16 years?
Yeah.
Wow. And most recently, you know, you're now doing a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
Done a bunch of that kind of stuff, or has it been a long haul?
I was the type of actress that I was working all the time. You had no idea who I was.
Ah.
Which I liked because I could go food shopping and nobody knew who I was. It was nice.
Is that different now?
You know what? It's interesting. I look so different than my character on Shameless. Yeah. I play a homeless prostitute.
Yeah.
And I wore my bra for most of the show. Like, I wore a bra and a really bad skirt and some boots. And my hair was a wreck. Like, it was all roots and everything.
She plays new Fiona, by the way.
New Fiona, yeah.
Season 7, right?
Season 7. Yeah. And I play Daddy Frank's new daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so when people see me, they don't know who I am unless I'm really dressed badly.
Uh-huh.
Like, they know who I am after I drop my kids off at school and I haven't showered. Then, oh, it's new Fiona. Yeah.
Now I get it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But when I'm dressed and I have makeup on, they're like, you are who?
Yeah.
So it's been great. I mean, I really like it. But yeah, that's weird. And then when I was in a dance class and somebody came up to me and I'm not very comfortable in a dance class, but I'm there and the guy taps me on the shoulder, like in the middle of like a turn. He goes, you're a new Fiona. I go, yeah. I go, can we talk about this?
Thanks for making it weird right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah. Like, me and my yoga pants. And he's like,
wait, I'm daft because I'm going to binge Shameless at some point in my life. I haven't seen one. My family loves the whole thing. And obviously, it's a great show. But is it New Fiona or New Fiona? What's the name of your character?
It's New, N-E-W, Fiona.
So there was an old Fiona?
Yeah, she's still there. Emmy Rossum. And Frank... Daddy Frank is
Bill Macy.
Bill Macy.
Yeah.
The family basically went on strike with him at the end of season 6.
Oh, okay.
And they throw him in the Chicago River.
That's so funny.
And they won't let him back in the house. And so
I can't wait to watch.
And Frank's, you know, best decision, he goes, oh, I want a new family.
Make a new family.
And he handpicked us out of a homeless shelter. And so he looked at me and he goes, you. Are you alone? And I go, yeah. And I'm like disheveled and like probably off drugs. And he's like, you, new Fiona. And I'm like, oh. And then I joined this family of total strangers.
That sounds
totally normal. That's exactly what happens in South suburbs.
You know, I've seen the ads for Shameless for years now. And, you know, I got caught up. You know, there's so many great shows. And the television productions are just amazing, you know, all over the world these days. But yeah, it looks pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. But for 16 years, you've been around working. Like, what brought you out to L.A. first?
I lived in New York, and I had to take 2 buses and a subway to go to Kmart. And I said, I'm done. Yeah. I go, I want a car.
Deal breaker.
I'm done. No, I met a boy, actually.
Aww.
I met a boy, and he lived in Florida. I was in New York. Mm-hmm. And we lost an apartment on the east side, Lower East Side. And we lost it. And I said, I'm tired. I can't do it anymore. Like, I want stuff in my refrigerator. Like, I had ketchup and pepper. That was what I had in my refrigerator. Yeah. And he said, okay. And he planned our trip the next day. Everything.
And just lock, stock, and barrel?
Yeah.
Wow.
And he's like, all right, we're going. And he never had seen L.A. in a person. He lived in San Diego for a month for a work gig. But he'd never seen L.A. in person. And he's like, well, I love you. Let's do it. And so then I moved out with him 9 months later.
Holy, and this is hubby, right?
This is my husband now.
What's his name?
Charles.
Just Charles, huh? Wow.
Yeah.
That's wacky.
It was wacky.
And you were doing stand-up?
Right. So that's an example where long distance works.
It totally did.
He was in Florida.
He was in Florida and he would not go away.
How did you meet?
Yeah.
You know what was interesting? I met him through friends that were reluctant to introduce us because I was a handful.
Uh-huh.
And like my friend Devin didn't want to be the one that was blamed if it didn't work out. So he was very cagey about it. I'm like, you must have like some guys that would be interested in me. And then finally he couldn't avoid it and we met. And then Charles was like hunting me down. And he's like, he was like very cagey. He was like, Devin was. He goes, he wants your email. And I go, well, give it to him. I don't know. I go, oh, for God's sakes, give him my email. And then he asked me out on his birthday via email, said, I'd like to take you out to dinner in New York, and flew up from Florida and took me out on his birthday.
Oh, my gosh.
And gave me flowers that I wasn't allergic to because I'm allergic to every flower except tulips.
Oh.
And then I knew. I was like, he's it.
That's pretty nice.
This is it. You knew on the first date.
I did, but I then like to sabotage.
But you don't say that.
Well, I'm from the Kennedy family, so it's all the tragedy, none of the money. So I knew.
wait. You're like a bloodline from Joe and them guys?
Yeah, third cousins.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
But you don't go to Hyannis and hang out.
Oh, no, because we're the poor side. Yeah, they don't care.
Well, we're going to change that.
Yeah, I hope now, so.
You're in the big time now. Why two shows?
I don't think they're calling up. Can I talk to the homeless prostitute? Let's bring her to dinner. And
I was going to make a bad Kennedy joke. I don't know. I think that would be pretty common. No.
Yeah. Well, you're right. I forgot about that. That's right. Yeah. So anyway, so that's what happened.
Wow.
And who's Devin? Who's Devin?
He's my husband's best friend who married my best friend. So they were all, and they didn't get married till like way after we did.
Okay.
Wild.
I got a picture now.
Boston. You have big ties to Boston.
Yeah, I'm from there originally. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 20 minutes north mm-hmm. of Boston.
I wanted to bring this up because David kind of came up. He started doing stand up and kind of came up with a lot of those.
Catch a Rising Star.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I joined a comedy group with a bunch of people.
You did?
Yeah. Louis C.K. was in it.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah. David Cross.
Oh, I know David.
John Groff.
Yep.
Yeah. Dave was my roommate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some good guys.
H. John Benjamin.
Oh, yeah. I know H. John
you
Benjamin.
Know H. John from the Archa.
From the Archa. Yeah. Yeah. I know him.
I love this Boston segment of the show.
At one point, we were very close, but they were cured, you know, which is an old Hollywood term. When you get a good show and you got some rhythm and you're kind of working on a regular basis back in the day in the 30s and 40s, like Bob Hope days. Did you hear about Hope and Crosby? Yeah, they got cured. You know, because they're no longer around now. They've taken the next step.
But oh, that's good.
Great training. And I would not be here today without those. I mean, I fell into the most creative bunch of people in Boston. Loved it. Definitely loved
it.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Yeah. And they are the first to say to you, like when you go back, don't get too bright for your britches. So what? So you got TV credits. What's the big deal? We all still go to Dunkin'.
Hey, it's Joe Hollywood. Yeah. Joe Hollywood's back.
Care. Yeah, they don't care. Yeah, they don't care. And that's my mother. We're talking about my mother.
So shall we dig into some music?
Yes.
Oh, number one.
So you brought 5 songs with you. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Classic.
Love will keep us together. Do you know Maggie?
I know the song.
Oh, she's so young.
Yeah.
Now,
it's a classic. It's
why? Why?
Yeah.
Why is it your song?
Love. Oh, why is it my song? So should I fade it out now?
A little bit, yeah. Almost to the end, we can't hear nothing. That's good.
That's good.
So here's the thing. My mother had a band growing up. She did. And so my parents were divorced, and she dropped me to my dad's house every weekend. And she's passive aggressive. You know, she's the Sullivan side. She's not the Kennedy side. So she would drive up to his house in Beverly, Mass with this blaring at the top of Love Will Keep Us Together because he just married another woman. Oh, and I was like, God. Oh, my God. And I loved it because when I was younger, I thought it was because my mom loves us so much. She wants to play this song. Right. And she would like blare it. And I don't know because the technology wasn't there back then. I don't know why she had that song all the time. Mm-hmm. I don't know if she had it. I don't know how she did it. I have no idea, but I just remember constantly when we were being in front of my father's house, that song was blaring. And then as I got older, I go, oh, because she's pissed that he divorced her. She's going to be passive aggressive about it.
Are you an only child?
No, I have a brother.
Okay, so it was you and your brother, and you got dropped off every weekend at dad's house.
Yeah, my mother's like, love will keep us together. And then with her cigarette and tab, bye.
Ironically. See you later.
No, that's hilarious. My parents were 50s greasers, you know, that kind of thing. What was your mom and dad like when they met? Like, what do you think it is that makes your mom have that propensity to do this? I mean,
they were really funny, and they were total partiers. Like, and so I think that's basically what brought them together. Hello. And then when they had kids, I think my father decided, oh, I'm still gonna party, and my mother's like, we have a baby, like, stop it.
Okay. So
yeah.
Just sense of humor type thing.
Yeah, sense of humor. My dad was really funny, and my dad is a great salesman. He could sell you a phone book for free. Like, he could sell you a free phone book, and then you'd pay $500, I meant. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Is that what he did? Was he a salesman?
Yeah, he was an insurance broker. So they didn't really align, because my mom was a musician, and he was an insurance broker. So my father wasn't happy when she'd do gigs, because he was like, wait a second, I need dinner on the table. And she's like, order.
What was the name of her, was it a band with a name, like a touring band?
They started first, there was three encapsulations of it, basically. They started off as Seabreeze, which was a top 40 wedding band.
Oh my! I was going to say wedding band. I swear to God, I was like, sounds like a wedding band. Seabreeze.
And they were the basic sort of main wedding band for King's Grant Inn. It was a medieval inn on Route 1 in Danvers.
Oh, Route 1.
Yeah. God. So they did that. Mm-hmm. And then that stopped. And then she had like a duo, and the name would change depending on the gig. Oh, and then like Kennedy and Friends or whatever. And then the last one was called the Mood Swings, which is all these divorcees and a fog machine. And yeah.
Did you ever get to see her perform?
I sang with the band.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
How old?
Well, first I was her roadie at 16. And then.
So you had to carry all the equipment.
I carried all the equipment. Ugh. And then I would do the contracts and I would make sure that they got fed. And I would dress like I was a 30-year-old. Like she put me in her dresses so I looked like not her kid. So I would be at the band then. And then I would come home from college and she'd throw me in if somebody. I can't tell you how many gigs I did and how many Christmas gigs and how many. I was like, Ma, I just want to hang out with my friends. Nope.
No, you're performing.
Yeah, we got to get in Framingham.
Like it.
I'm not the first to say this, but Mary, that's your next show, right? I mean, is that
That
is like the Partridge Family update, totally.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And so she was very, it was really fun.
And so is the time that you were hearing Captain and Tennille, by the way, you were like, what, around 12, 13 years old when you were
hearing? I was like 10.
It's that when it was first initially released, yes.
Time. And then the band would play it. That's another thing.
Do you enjoy singing to this day?
Yeah.
Are you still musicals, playing instruments?
No, I sing.
That's an instrument.
Well, yeah, that's my voice. But I sing in a choir professionally. And that's
really
fun. Yeah, I sing in a Catholic choir at St. Monica's. I sing for Jesus. I do.
No, that's cool. Yeah. What does that mean professionally, though?
Like we've cut CDs.
Wow.
And like it's fun. What I love about this church, it's progressive. Mm-hmm. And it's a great, like I was pregnant in this choir. Like we had baby showers. Like it's a real fun group of people and we're totally progressive.
I didn't know that they had to be mutually exclusive. Like you can be pregnant or sing. You can't do both.
No, but it's interesting because when I got pregnant, all the women in the choir got pregnant and the choir director got mad. He's like, you're all going to miss rehearsal.
Stop drinking the water. Don't do that.
Yeah.
So number one, Love Will Keep Us Together way, way back.
Yes.
Child
like
of divorce. Yeah, me too.
She's fun. So should I play my next one now?
If you're ready, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
I'm getting the fucking chills right now. This is what I love about the show. I love this song.
It's a good song. I know. I'm a kid.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited to hear this story.
Let's hear the words a little bit. I get cryy sometimes. Like, fucking, this is our lives, right? Good call, Mary.
Well, thanks.
All right.
Should I turn it down?
What's the story? Just a little bit.
So, wait, hold on. Hello. Okay. So, In Your Eyes, Peter Gabriel. Oh my God, and watch, he's going to listen to this guy. So, I dated a race car driver in high school.
Okay.
All right. And I'm a little passive aggressive too. So I was, my first car that I had, the first day it was registered, I hit a tree, a pole, and a fence. I almost landed in someone's backyard.
What make and model?
Yeah.
It was a Ford 1974 Fairlane.
Ow! Yeah. Sweet.
Yeah. And my mother told me, she said, I was like, because I was going to go to New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. And my mother said, all right, you can go to New Hampshire, get what you need, but don't go touring Marblehead. And you know Marblehead's so like small streets. But I decided not to listen to her. She doesn't know, whatever. And then I got in an accident. So she's like, as soon as I heard the ambulance and the fire, because they were at the end of our street, she's like, I knew it was you. So anyway, so flash forward, she wouldn't let me drive. Like, she's like, no, it's off limits. You're never driving again. Like, this is how my mother parents, right? Okay, fine. So I met this boy from Linfield who was racing at Epping as a high schooler, his little box cars. And so I found a race car driver to basically be my chauffeur.
Epping Motor Speedway in Linwood?
No, up in Epping, New Hampshire.
Epping, New Hampshire. Yeah, the midget cars.
Yeah. And he was this hot, like blonde, like gorgeous Nordic Derek Cunningham. And he knows, like he was stunning. And like he skied. Like I did things, like I was so athletic. I went skiing with him. I'm not athletic. I would do bike rides across the Cape because he was so hot. Like, and he drove this car and we, whatever. And so he would drive me, but then he would try to teach me how to drive. He tried to teach me how to drive 4 times and I failed every time. It was no good.
Okay, wait. There's a whole lot you just said there. So you were like, You're like, okay, you're going to chauffeur me around, so I'm going to try and keep up. Let's go snowshoeing. Sure, if that's what you want to do. Okay.
Yeah, he was so hot.
And then did he drive erratically off the truck?
Oh, yeah, we go 120 miles up 128.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
and your head's out the window like a dog, like, this is amazing!
Yeah, yeah, he was great. He was so adventurous. And this was our song.
That was your song.
Wait, how did that happen?
Like, do you remember?
They have radios in race cars? Is that a
when he was driving his car,
when he was driving his car,
up to the slopes or out to the beach.
Yeah, he had a Buick LeSabre that he redid.
LeSabre.
With the Pink Floyd, the wall on the side. My grandmother, like, he would take her for errands. He was so sweet. And she wouldn't go in that car. She's like, that's garbage.
Pink Floyd, like,
yeah, she goes, that's garbage. I'm not getting in that car to go to the bank. Like, she was very upset.
Well. What was this guy's name?
Derek Cunningham. Mm.
Does he still race?
Yeah, he's God bless him. Like, he found me 10 years later in New York and asked me to get married again, second time. He doesn't recall it, though. He's like, no, I didn't. I go, no, you did.
Of course.
And then it just didn't work because I wanted to go to LA, and he's like, I'm not an LA person. Like, I want to be by the snow. I want to be in New England. I want to marry somebody that's not you. And I said, all right. And then he let me go, and then I met Charles. So it all worked.
Have you reconnected through the magic of Facebook?
Oh, yeah. We're still friends. He's still... Yeah, and his wife couldn't be more sweet. She's a teacher.
Oh, great.
They have the cutest kids. Like, I met them. He came to a comedy show of mine.
Oh, great.
And there's a bit that I talk about him in it, so that was uncomfortable.
Oh, I bet that's such a thrill.
No, it was really uncomfortable.
Oh, really?
No, he was fine. And his wife was, like, so funny. She's like, thank you for doing that. I've wanted to tell him that for a long time, and he just didn't listen. I was like, oh, so marriage counseling. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. All right.
At the time you were dating him, and this was your song, where was your head at? Were you sort of moving into show business as your thing, or not? You went to college for theater?
Yeah, because we met at the drama festival. He was an actor, too.
Oh, kind of.
I mean,
he was
He was a Renaissance man.
Renaissance,
like a Renaissance festival guy.
No,
oh.
He was like a Robert Redford. Like, he was sporty.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, he's very supportive, and we did festivals together because he was in one high school, I was in another.
Oh, cool.
And so yeah, I knew, and he was super supportive when I went to college. But then we broke up before college, so.
Mm-hmm. Where did you go to school?
I went to Emerson in Boston.
Mm-hmm. Emerson. Were you in the comedy workshop or This Is Pathetic?
I never got into those.
You didn't get into those groups?
Never.
Because This Is Pathetic guys are the ones that I found at Catch a Rising Star.
Yeah,
down
no,
at
they,
Bear
did,
Street,
they didn't think I was funny. Believe
You're
it or not.
You're kidding me.
No.
Well, I'm not. I mean, I auditioned for the other White Meat. I don't know if you remember that sketch group.
Yep.
After I'd done Cross Comedy and got Best of Boston for the Comedy Lab with H. John Benjamin, Sam Cedar, Mike Lee. And I was doing lottery commercials back in the day, you know. And,
the lottery. Yeah.
And I went to the other White Meat because I'm like, oh, I'll go on improv with these guys. They wouldn't hire me. Or Nonsense. Couldn't
get
either
one of
them.
Nonsense.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was kind of funny. I was like, really?
Shit happens, right?
Yeah.
Now look at that. You're in fucking Shameless.
Yeah. And I'm like, listen, kids. And these, you know, so it was fun. But yeah, so that's my story of In Your Eyes.
All right.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like that.
Number three.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, here we go.
Gosh. I think of my sister Michelle. This was her song.
This was like the road trip song for my mom, sister, and I after my parents split up.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's a great song.
Mm-hmm. Huge.
We would just like get in the car and drive. She's like, see those mountains? You want to go see if we can get in them? Okay.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this is a favorite.
What's your story? Why this song?
Okay, so there was a summer. It was the summer before I went to college. Derek and I broke up. But I was dating Michael McGowan, who was a shorter version of Derek. Looked exact. They could be brothers. And I loved the Mike.
Did you have a type?
I had total type. Blonde hair, blue eyes. Mm-hmm. But my husband has brown hair, brown eyes. It's so bizarre. So anyway, so that summer, I decided I was going to go to as many concerts as possible.
Nice.
And so
summer of what, 80...
It was 90, because I started college in 90.
Okay.
And so we went out to Foxwoods all the time. I was there all the time. I saw, that summer, I saw Aerosmith, I saw George Michael, I saw Sting, I saw, there's more. I saw AC/DC, I saw like everybody. Everybody that was there that summer, I was there. But I couldn't get tickets to the B-52s. I was like, pissed. I was like, I want to see. I love them. I love the song Tin Roof Rusted, whatever, Love Shack. I was like, I want to be there. But we couldn't get tickets. So two of our friends had tickets. So we drove them to Foxwoods. Hmm. I didn't drive.
I was still not allowed to drive.
And we're all in the parking lot, all of my friends, before we went to college. And we're dancing to the song because we listened to the B-52s from the parking lot. And so it was like
I was outside of the concert.
And I just remember, like, it was such a moment of, like, you know, I may not be with these guys, you know, much longer because I was going to, well, everybody was all over the place. But I knew instinctively, even being 18, that, like, this was going to be a moment. Like, I would remember this for the rest of my life. And we were all sitting on, like, the tailgate. We were tailgating. It was just a great thing. Like, I don't think we could do that today. I think security would be like, get out of here.
What
like
are you
We had our own little concert.
Yeah. Did you do, like, I don't know, tailgating now, especially in the Midwest, it's like there's coolers of booze and food and grilling and people will go all out and have I mean, obviously didn't do that, but like, did you come with coolers prepared and some snacks and stuff too?
No, because it was so like
just last minute.
Last minute. Mm-hmm. I think we had, like, you know, some coffee.
Just a bunch of sober teenagers.
Yeah, we were a bunch of sober teenagers. Yeah. So, but it was just fun.
Like, that is awesome.
It was summertime, Foxwoods, out in the parking lot. Yep. You hear it. I mean, we can do that at Hollywood Bowl here, but it's, you know, it's kind of cramped and crowded and hard to get up on the mountain. But are you the kind of person that when you were the music was playing and you were dancing, were you checked into, like, this is fucking great right
yes.
now. Yeah. I wonder that often because I consider myself kind of similar, where overly sentimental, like in the moment that it's happening and kind of logging it in the moment.
Yeah.
So you're the same.
Totally.
Yeah.
And it was kind of free and easy in Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. Like, it was like, oh, you want to do this? Okay. You want to go to Boston? All right. Like, because it's such a small state, you can drive through the whole state in a day. Right. And so that's what I kind of loved about the freedom, you know, and being with, like, my best friends, you know, it was really great. Yeah.
I love that.
Love Shack.
Love Shack in the 90s parking lot.
And I still don't know what tin roof rusted means, but all right. That's fine.
There is a story about that. I don't think they knew either. They just, I think it was one of those lines they just threw in there.
Well, the tin roof on a shack, you know, they will ultimately get rusted because of the rain. And it's just that, I always thought that visualization. And I mean, what an interesting lyric. Tin roof rusted.
Yeah.
You know, what a change. It's like,
I feel like through most of the 90s, no one knew what they said. And it wasn't until, like, the pop-up video came on VH1 that they were like, oh, that's what they said.
Yeah.
Everyone's just like, yeah.
Reference.
We don't know what you just said.
That's that line.
Yeah. Well, my friend Paul, My Lips Are Sealed by the Go-Go's, he always thought it was, they were saying his friend's name, Pat Salcido. Not My Lips Are Sealed. Pat Salcido. I go, no. Which is really funny.
Pat Salcido.
You know, yeah. I was like, no, Pat is not in the song because we were on the road. I go on the road with Paul a lot.
Yeah.
And we're listening to it. And he's like, Pat Salcido. I go, what are you talking about? He goes, that's what they're saying. I said, no, the song is My Lips Are Sealed. He goes, really? Like years, like 30 years.
He's so disappointed.
He was very disappointed. And Pat was very upset. His friend, Pat Salcido. All right. Mistaken lyrics. This one is a good, this is a goodie. This is a classic too.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
You should see the smile on her face right now.
Oh, it's great.
At last.
Let it play. Let it play.
Oh, good.
My love has come along.
We're having a moment
my
here.
My lonely days are over. And life is like a song.
Okay.
There you go. So this was my last dance with my husband at my wedding.
A last dance?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, when everybody's, when the tab is up for you to be done, it's like the DJ last dance, so you can get out of here so the bride and groom don't have to pay any more money.
Yeah.
And so, that was our last song. And that wedding was very poignant because I planned a whole wedding in Boston, and I was going to have my mother's band play.
Oh, of course.
Wow.
And then I had a very bad feeling about it. So I came home from putting the deposit down and everything, and I called my matron of honor, and I said, yeah, we're going to do it in Boston. She goes, no, you're not. And I go, why? She goes, you're not doing this in Boston. She goes, it's not you. It's not your husband. She says, you need to have it in L.A. You guys started a life here. Like, wow. You're not going to have it at the Danvers Port in Danvers, Massachusetts. You're just not. Mm-hmm. And so I really listened to her. And then the next day, and it was around 4th of July weekend, I called my whole family and I go, I'm canceling it. You all need to come out to L.A. And they all were like, oh, my God, the blowback. I got to get on a freaking plane. Like, you can't, like, they're going to give you a discount. You don't have to pay for a band. Like, my mother was so upset. But then they all realized, they go, okay, I get it. And so they all came out, and we had to push our wedding back, like, earlier to get the space. So I ended up, I was going to get married on May 23rd, 2003, and then I canceled it, and then I got married on March 22nd, 2003. And then it was great. And so the wedding was at the Victorian in Santa Monica, and the best part, and my mom said this to me, the best part that she had was after the wedding, we had 2 hours to do pictures with my husband and I. Her and my cousin and his partner went to the beach and ate French fries in tuxedos and gowns.
Oh, that's awesome. So was it kind of an earlier wedding, like in the morning or early
no? It
afternoon?
Was it was in the early afternoon, and then it was an evening wedding. But it was just amazing. It was like it was, and so this signifies sort of me being in LA and my husband, and that I'm standing on my own 2 feet. And
yeah.
As much as I love Massachusetts, it's a part of me, but it's not.
This is home.
This is home.
Yeah. When the song came on and you were like, oh, this is the last dance, were you and your husband together at the wedding, or were you both kind of doing your own thing and you're like, oh, we got to do this? And you had to kind of find each other?
Well, yeah, but then you have the annoying DJ. Let's hear it for Mr. and Mrs. Hall. Get to the middle of the room for their last dance, you know.
That's exactly how
And then all it. My friends are so drunk, like they can't even move. Like they're like, really? And I go, yeah, let's do
Sorry,
it.
Sorry, party's over.
Party's over. And then we had our last dance. It was really great.
Yeah.
And whenever I hear it, my husband will grab me and we'll dance. He's not a dancer either.
That is so sweet.
The fact that he car dances, my daughter tells me, when he picks him up at school. He turns on the radio and he'll car dance.
Is it embarrassing for her?
She hates it.
That's
but
awesome.
I love it. It's like, it's something that makes me like fall in love
That's
with
why
him.
You become a parent, so you can embarrass your children.
Well,
like,
I suppose.
He car dances.
That's awesome.
But you all claim LA. Your kids are LA natives, and this is home. And it's, I do too, you know, being from the East Coast. It's, you know, at 20 something years, it's home.
It's home. And I think for me, it was important to say, listen, like, I need to do this, because then you regret it. I would have regretted it. And what's ironic, here's a little, we're going to do a callback. Mm-hmm. Derek, my ex, got married and did everything the same that we talked about with his new wife.
What do you mean? So Derek was the race car driver.
He was the race car driver. And when we talked about getting married, we talked about having it at the Danvers Port.
You and Derek.
Oh, yeah. Right. Having it at this other location. And I see wedding pictures of his. They're at the Danvers Port. They're at this other location. And I was like, thank God.
Dodge that bullet.
but that is such hometown. I imagine every culture has its sort of traditions. And the U.S., you know, we really kind of have to cobble together traditions. But when I think about that, it's kind of a beautiful thing. It's, you know, that's like our town. This happened. This is my plan. And this is how I originally saw it. But the plan is still going to be executed. The tradition continues. And my experience living around the United States is Massachusetts has a pretty strong, like in your face almost, traditional family bond.
Yeah.
It's a cool story.
Yeah. And so, but it was interesting. Like, I was like, oh, okay, good.
It happened.
It happened. I got married and everybody was fine. And it was really great for my dad to come out. Because he wasn't a big traveler. And he whispered in my ear because they were going into San Diego, he and his wife. He's like, this is the daddy-daughter dance. He goes, all right, when I get on the 405, what exit do I take to go to San Diego? I go, daddy, like, can you listen to the...
Can we just be in this moment right now?
He goes, because I don't want to go in that weird, like, toll lane and end up in Mexico. And I was like, everyone relax. Like,
But I understand.
You totally understand.
When you came out to L.A., Mary, were you GPS transient?
I was
Thomas Guide. See that? How did we do that?
I don't know.
When first,
do you remember we was like this Bible and like I'm going to an audition and I'm like, okay.
After third page, I'd call my agent and just scream, I don't know where Burbank is. you know, and it was like everybody else's fault, you know. It was insane, this Thomas
guy.
Well,
there's one casting place off of Wilshire. It's this cat, but it's like a side street.
Little Santa Monica or
something like that. And I just remember like being in like, you know, there's four points of death. Like, mm-hmm. and you're sitting there waiting, like, you know, there's like, and I was like, enough. And I was like.
What did you do when you came out? Did you have to like make your own action, like go to the clubs and get established? Or did you have somebody kind of looking out for you when you came out here?
This is what was really interesting. When I was in New York, I came out here and I did a comedy conference. And I auditioned for a bunch of producers. So that was sort of my, okay, you can do this because I got good feedback. I also made connections with like the store and the Laugh Factory and all that. So when I came out and I finally said, I'm here, they were like, fine. But it's interesting when you come from New York and you're like, can I get a guest spot? You get a really good spot. When you live here, it's like, oh, we'll give you the... We'll give you the 12 a.m. and, you
after
know,
Dane Cook's cousin, you
yeah,
can go.
Well,
up.
And I followed Dane, who's like, you know, hogged the mic. No offense, Dane, but, you know. So yeah. What I'm trying to say is like, it becomes, you go down to the bottom. And so I had to like work. And then when the bookers saw, it was weird. When the bookers saw me, like, and I was committed and I was really here for it, then they were like, all right, yeah, you can do it.
Wow.
And I was like, that's weird.
What was your first gig when you came out here?
The Ha Ha.
The comedy club, Ha Ha.
Yeah.
The old Ha Ha.
The old Ha Ha with what was his name? Jamie? No, that's...
That's improv.
No, that's Laugh Factory. Who is it? He has a weird name.
What about acting gig, like TV or
film? Oh, my first big commercial that I booked that got me my SAG card was a Singular Wireless.
Oh.
Where I was asked to be a mime. And my agent was so funny. He was a friend of mine from Emerson. He's like, all right, they want you to be a mime. I know you're not a professional mime, but I put in the breakdown that you are. Because this was hard copy breakdown, remember? Like, there was no computer stuff.
Yeah.
So I get there to this audition, and it was straight to callbacks, and there's all these mimes.
Real like, mimes.
Mimes with the face and the black turtleneck and me. And I go, and so the session runner goes, you're a mime? I go, oh, yes, extensive. I go, but I feel like my face needs to breathe when I come sometimes. So I don't always look like that. But trust me, I've got it, and I can bring it on. And then the mimes, like, talk like comics. Like, these mimes are talking about gigs, and they're like, do you remember that gig in Santa Clarita that was really hot, and all my makeup came down, and I was sitting here like, oh, my God. So anyway, so I totally lied, right? And then I get in the room, and they just wanted us to be physical. So I booked it, and it was in the Spanish market and the English market. It was a double thing. It ran forever, and our director was from Barcelona, and we had a translator, and she said to the translator, she goes, the reason why I booked Mary is because she had no fear, and she was totally open, and it was a riot. Like, they thought I was a mime. Like, and I had to keep that story up. Like, by craft service, I was like, oh, yes.
It was extensive.
A woman director from Barcelona? Awesome.
Yeah, she was great. And then my scene was I fought over a donut with a guy in an elevator doing kung fu.
Oh, wow.
And so they just wanted physical, but it was a riot because I had to like play.
They just said the wrong word.
They should have, so, you know, physical actor.
Do you have space work in your improv? Is that, can you do that?
That's great. Right.
But it was a riot. To be, and the things that I saw, all these mimes, like gaggles, like I'm not talking one or two. I'm talking like there was 30 mimes at this audition.
Oh my God.
And what,
I wish
what?
It was silent and you're just walking around. And you're like, this is so awkward. Hands are everywhere.
Yeah, no, they were.
What, like if a youngster was kind of like interested in trying to follow, you know, come out here and do it. Like, do you bust your ass with this? Are you like always hustling? I mean, did you ever have to get a day job or anything like that?
Well, yeah, no. I did. I did special events when I first started, but then I opened. Like probably 5 years in, I opened Youth Acting Biz in North Hollywood.
Oh, cool.
So I'm a showbiz coach and a teacher.
Oh, great.
And so I teach young actors ages 4 to legal 18.
Do you still do that?
I still do it to this day.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm way accountable. Like, I'm not one of those teachers that comes in with, like, the long drape and the scarf going, you know, when I was on Golden Girls.
Why not?
You should do that one day.
yeah, when I was on, you know, anyway, so when I was on St. Elsewhere. But no, and so, but yeah, I have these kids. They go to network. I have a lot of kids who've been working. One of my first students is now Steven the Universe. He's the actor that plays Steve in the Universe animation.
Cool.
And so, yeah, it's been great. And I love it. And mm-hmm. My father said, he said, can you get your theater ed degree? Because I'm frightened. And I said, sure. And so at Emerson, I got my theater ed degree and the rest is history.
That's great.
Yeah, we're really great. And we have the respective casting directors because I'll get notes from casting, say, send me your best four. Like, I'm not a manager. I'm not an agent. But I know kid talent, and I go on set sometimes with my kids, and I'm a nice liaison between the director.
Do your kids have the bug?
They kind of had to. Like, mm-hmm. I did a pilot where they were in the pilot. It was a reality mm-hmm. thing about touring mm-hmm. mom comics. Mm-hmm. We went through the tests and everything. We got passed. It was for Nick Mom. We were like 6 of 5. Like, we didn't get it. Mm-hmm. But my daughter and I tested in all the networks, all the markets all over the country. And the test, you get like this. When you're in network stuff, you mm-hmm. get like a spreadsheet of how you did. Like, how you did in Boise, Idaho. What do people think of you in Boise, Idaho?
Oh.
And so my daughter was first. They were like, we would come back and watch your daughter over and over again. And then I was second.
Oh, wow.
And so she's good, but she also knows, off air, we just said that she's like a little press rep. She also knows the business, so she has like no time. Mm-hmm. Like, she'll do something with me, and she's like, all right, I'm going to craft service. I'll be back in a second. Like, she's so like, and my son has no interest. He likes the technical, like, he loved like looking at this board and everything. Mm-hmm. When he's on set, he's like, I'm done.
Like, that's like the old man, right? That's like his dad.
Yeah. He's like, no, I'm good.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, cool. So, yeah.
All right.
But I'm not going to schlep her around for auditions. It's only if.
Right.
I just think it's great that your mom was like, you know, a club singer, a touring band on the East Coast, and the family business continues to grow. Yeah. That's really cool.
Yeah. She played the piano though. She was like that. She did that. She can't sing. My mother could not sing. She played the piano.
Well, yeah. But you know, she's showbiz.
She was total showbiz.
Yeah, showbiz, man.
Yeah. We had a fog machine in our kitchen. Don't you?
We did. What?
Yeah. There was a coffee maker in the fog machine.
What was Halloween like at your house when you were growing up?
It was odd. Because my mother would sit in a lounge chair outside and play really scary music and like have a martini and a cigarette and be like, take candy. I'm too tired. It's an off day. Nobody wants to book me on Halloween.
Did you get to do super cool costumes?
No. Because when you're a performer like that, every day's a show. Mm-hmm. Like, these are off days.
Oh, I see.
Like, she'd like throw a hat on me and go run along. Like, she was not. Mm-hmm. She was like, you know, go catch up with your brother. Like, there was no.
When this show gets huge, because yourself and many of our guests on Y-Tune Shuffle, I mean, we get into the nitty-gritty of like what was going on in the family, which you can't always do on The Tonight Show or whatever, you know, when you're doing stuff. But it's like when we do our Mother's Day show, you and your mom have to come in together, go song for song.
Yeah, that's so it's awesome. Just, you know, it's been, but yeah, no, she was like, no, it's a non-show day. Let me relax.
I love the martini imagery. That's pretty great.
You want my last?
Yeah.
Okay. Already? It's like they fly by.
It's fun though. I love you guys. In. You can be amazing. You can turn a phrase into a weapon
or a drug. You can be the outcast to be the backlash. Maggie Mayfield is bouncing around in her chair right now, and I'm still thinking. All right.
Do you know the song?
I don't.
Okay.
It's a new one for me.
I love Sarah Bareilles.
I do too. Probably one of my favorite go-to karaoke songs.
Yeah. And this is the bridge.
Oh yeah, I know this song. I know that hook.
It was so delightfully parodied on the internet. So many people were doing their own dance. And,
right.
Oh, I love all those videos. Yeah. The nurses and the kids. And
yeah, it's about being brave. And I'm at a time in my life that, I'm just at a time in my life where, you know, I feel like I need to be brave and be, you know, sort of stand in my womanhood, I guess. That sounds whatever. And so when I listen to this song, I like it gives me the courage to like really own my what I'm saying. It sort of backs me up. And then I love the song. And my daughter loves it too. So we'll be in the car. And
is there something specific that makes you feel like, yeah, I really need to stand on my own 2 feet and speak up for myself?
Look at the current situation.
Okay, I just didn't want to assume that was a political environment.
Yeah. Good call. Yeah, I was wondering the same thing. It's a good question. Yeah.
It's just, you know, listen, I have 2 kids now. I have an 8- and 10-year-old. Mm-hmm. My daughter was rocked after the election. And, you know, I have to stand and say, listen, you can be just as strong as mommy is. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a tough cookie. I'm from Boston, so I'm tough. But, you know, as a parent, like, I mean, sometimes we don't know what we're doing. I mean, that's just the truth, everybody. Sometimes.
I think everybody doesn't know what they're doing.
That's the scariest reality, you know?
And so when I hear this song, I go, oh, you just open your mouth and say something.
Yeah.
And, you know, listen, doing comedy and things like that, mm-hmm. I think is so important at this time. Mm-hmm. Like, and I feel that we need to just open our mouths and be true to who we are, mm-hmm. and not try to be who what everybody else wants them to be. It's interesting. This past year, I decided that I was going to just be me. And that's when all the booking stuff started.
That's great.
And, you know, I don't make excuses for it now. And it's hard for me to see women and men, but women specifically, who sort of give themselves a bad rap before anybody else does.
Oh.
It's like too hard. You know, it's too hard. You should give yourself a pat on the back and say, oh, good. You know?
Yeah. I got up today. I put on pants. That was hard enough.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, it's, and I just like, you know, we're all scared. We're all confused. And like Maggie just said, you know, it's like nobody knows what we're doing. We really don't know what we're doing. We kind of have to make it up as we go. And I think the time has come where that reality for a lot of us is there's no denying it. And how do you as a parent and, you know, a human being, you know, kind of contribute to how great it was to be at Foxwoods that afternoon at the back mm-hmm. of the car? That's as good as it's ever going to fucking get, ever.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what it is.
Well, and that's what I'm realizing. Back then, yeah, it sucked. You know, I was broken up with my boyfriend and dating his smaller twin. You know, it was like, yeah. So you're going, all right. You know, I look back and I go, oh, wow, it was, you know, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was. You know, and listen, there's still joy and happiness. I'm not saying, like, I'm not going to be a downer about it, but I think you need that sort of push. And it's interesting, and we'll see what happens. You know, celebrities, especially, they look to the celebrities to give sort of their thoughts, and then we're sort of, I'm not trying to put myself in the celebrity thing, but then you're sort of dodged for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You say what you feel like, and then it's like, ah, that was wrong. And so I'm just trying to say, you know what? I own my stuff.
Yeah.
Like, own it. Like, you know what? I said this, and that's okay.
Can I share with you something? Because I don't know about you, David, but on Facebook, the political climate, and just the things that people are saying in general, a lot of comedians I'm friends with on Facebook, and we're all just trying to find the funny. We're all just trying to find the joke, and I think Facebook is a good platform for that. But then you get some of these activists that are so far out there that can't come to the middle a little bit and teach us from a place of love and share, like, why that joke that we're just trying to work out in this free zone might be insensitive or offensive. And they come at it with hate, and it's just like, why are you making this worse? You know, like, we're all just trying to figure out the transgender ruling together, and where is the funny in this? And we're trying to come from a place of love and support these people, and you're just making it harder by saying that was a terrible joke by blah 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 blah.
Well, and they don't necessarily know. It's like when I go to my doctor's office and he says, oh, I have a new joke for you. You know what, I just want to make sure that you're able to attest. Give me blood work. Like, I don't need to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Doc.
But it's true. I know what you're talking about.
I just feel like we're at a place right now where it's like, if you're going to be an activist and you're going to speak up, you can't get tired. You can't get tired, right? You're going to have to keep repeating yourself. And that sounds exhausting. But if you keep doing it from a place of love and from your heart, you don't have to apologize for that joke, right? Because you just...
Well, we're all on the line now with social media. You know, even my nieces and nephews who have like 12 friends, that's their audience, you know, and it's an audience-based experience. And, you know, talking about truly embracing acceptance, some of my best buddies are redneck, bigoted, mm-hmm. you know, let's kick them out, totally opposite of what my vibe is all about. And it's sad because I miss these guys and I don't talk to them anymore. And it's just happily ever after we get over this last heartbreak. Happily ever after we get through this fucking political mm-hmm. thing. Happily ever after is not an ongoing infinite thing. It's temporary. And that's what the little kids in my life, you know, because I feel so sad. I want them to have fun we had, you know, that we're remembering on this show, this great music and this great life that is as much a part of everything else that's going on.
Well, and music and comedy is the great connector. And I think, you know, listen, there can be somebody I disagree with politically, but we all can talk about Tin Roof Rusted, right?
Fuck yeah. Yeah. Why not? Why tunes? Yeah. Beautiful. Is that five?
That was five.
Now we're at the part. Are we at the part?
This is David's favorite part of the show.
Okay, all right.
And I already know this is, you know, it's just, what was your, mm-hmm. Mary Kennedy, mm-hmm. very first concert?
Oh, I can totally tell you. And it's a really good story, actually. Good. So my mother, again, Betty, her manager, she had a manager back in Boston, was a jazz manager. You know, she's managing the wedding band, and then she was managing like Wynton Marsalis and all those guys. Wow. Like that, these jazz guys. So my mother goes, all right, come on. We're going to the Lynn, I think it was like the Lynn Civic Center or something, Lynn, Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. We're going to a show. I go, all right. And we go in, and who's playing but Dizzy Gillespie?
Good God.
With Wynton Marsalis, like whole, like everybody. Because they're Berkeley guys, right? So my mother's like, you know, no big deal. Like, so we're sitting there, and because the manager was the manager of this, we're in the front row. I'm seeing Dizzy Gillespie and his huge cheeks, like playing, and like I'm like, and I knew at that moment that was big. Like I knew who Dizzy Gillespie was.
Not many people as young as you will have that experience. You may be one of the last.
Yeah. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm going, wow. And so that was my first concert, like at 11, and then we went backstage, and I met Dizzy, and I saw his trumpet, and I met all these jazz like musicians, amazing, like incredible. So what that did to me, and then flash forward 5 years, and we went to the jazz festival in Rhode Island. I met Harry Connick. I met George Benson. I met, so I guess when I was the snob from the very beginning.
Like accidentally.
My mom totally set me up for like, because I was like, oh, I just went and saw Dizzy Gillespie, and the other kids are like, oh, I went to Sesame Street Live at the Boston Science Center. Like, it's like, that's kind of where we are. So I just, so
I have friends that no matter what else you've done in your life, just by virtue of like knowing someone that had that experience
it was amazing.
Yeah, that's
and
cool.
So that was my first concert.
Wow.
So yeah.
Linda.
Have you taken your kids to a concert yet?
This is bad mom. Bad mom. My husband and I got tickets to Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
But it was on a school night. And so my husband said, you could take Rebecca. And I was like, nope. I was like, date night.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I got her a t-shirt. She's like, thanks for nothing. Like, she was so upset with me. But yeah, I went to, yeah, no, I have to take them to one. I took them to a play. Like, I took them to Hansel and Gretel, which if they squint, it could have been a concert.
That doesn't make you a bad mom.
No, we will. Rebecca's already, she like is in love with all these bands that I don't even know. Mm-hmm. And some of them scare me, quite frankly. And I'm sure the talk will be, can you take me?
You know, so many of our guests have gone to concerts with their parents. But, you know, I don't know why I'm a sentimental fool today or feeling that way to some degree. But it's kind of like, I wonder what the experience is for a kid to watch their mom and dad go off to a concert. You know, that I think that's a pretty special thing to know about. Like, mom and dad are going to see Taylor Swift. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and my husband did chair dance. So I just let everybody know.
That's so great.
As long as he's seated, so he's got the rhythm. If it's a car or a chair.
Yeah, car or chair, he's fine. He's got the support.
That's a sketch. Chair dancing. Get involved. It's helping.
Yeah.
Well, Mary Kennedy, this has been so great. Before you go, what besides Shameless, is there anything else that you're working on that you want to share and promote, make sure people see?
I will be at Flappers, Burbank. I will be there March 2nd, this coming Thursday. Mm-hmm. And then I will be there also on March 9th. The second show, it's in the Yoohoo Room at 9:30. And then on the 9th, it's a 7 o'clock. And it's, you know, I tour with Love at First Laugh. That's the show on the 9th. Mm-hmm. And then on the 2nd, it's basically two New Yorkers and a Boston girl. It's Tracy Esposito, Ro Del Grazia, me, and then a bunch of other comics from the East Coast.
Nice.
And you're still doing the children's theater workshops?
Yeah, Youth Acting Biz. We our next round of classes start March 11th. If you want information, you can go to youthactingbiz.com, and we'd love to have you.
And then what's your corner of the internet? How do we find it? Do you like, so can we social media you?
Oh my God. Yeah. No, okay. Yeah. At M Kennedy Comedy. If you put that in, you'll see. And then you can always, and people are like, can we catch up on Shameless? Season 7 is Hulu streaming. It's everywhere.
It is.
It's Showtime
my
is doing
sister
it.
And her husband, Nick, are not there yet. Yeah, but they're ready and they're so stoked.
Yeah, I mean, Showtime has been offering some free incentive stuff, which I've been sharing. So just keep a lookout at showtime.com and this, you know, Hulu, Netflix, all that.
Mary Kennedy.
Thank you.
Tune Shuffle.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good get, Maggie.